Greetings and welcome to another podcast. I don't know if you've ever seen either a video or a picture of a young Jewish boy about to take his bar mitzvah, where he takes a marker called a yad and he moves it gently and slowly over the holy scriptures in the local synagogue. You see, it's too holy to even touch the scripture. Well, that leads me to our text today, Psalm 119, verse 48. And I read from the New Living Translation. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Well, let's have a look at it. I want to break it up into two parts. Honor and love, or respect and love your commands. And then secondly, meditate on your decrees. And we might not finish that. We might have to go on to another episode. But let's start straight away and jump in and see what God has got to say through the scriptures today. When we look at this phrase, I want to read the New Living and the Good News together. First of all, the New Living. I honor and love your commands. Whereas the Good News is, I respect and love your commandments. You see, they say the same thing, but differently. There's a great respect for God's word. And as I mentioned in this illustration at the beginning of the podcast, the Jews had a holy, reverential respect for the scriptures of the Old Testament. Yet, so often, we as Gentile believers treat God's word so lightly. This shouldn't be. First of all, I want to look at the words honor and respect with regard to the Bible. And maybe at the end of this podcast, you and I will have a holy reverence for God's word. First of all, we respect and honor the scripture of the Old and the New Testament because they're not just another book. They're a collection of 66 books of writings handed down by God through men who were the authors. They are thus God-breathed. Hence, we can say they are the words of God or the word of God. I love the quotation from David Livingstone, who used to say, "It's the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor." So, we respect and honor God's word. And as we come fresh each day to the scriptures, we come prayerfully, and then we let the Holy Spirit breathe life onto that passage. And suddenly, the word of God becomes the living word and speaks to you and me. So, isn't it interesting that when I wake up, and my Japanese counterpart wakes up in Japan, or the person in South America, and read the scripture, and the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it brings life to the person in Japan, in Africa, or in South America, or wherever you like. Now, let's have a look at the next phrase. The psalmist says, he loves and honors the word of God, or God's commands. Why does he love them? Well, I always ask a question, why? And I've noticed that my young grandson is also starting to ask questions, why? Much to his parents' surprise. Why indeed? I'll tell you why. I'm going to share some of the reasons why. Let me read them slowly, and maybe you want to write them down. Because I believe God gave them to me as examples to share with you. Why do we love the Word of God as believers? First of all, they are the words that bring comfort and consolation. They are commands to be obeyed. They are blessings to be enjoyed when we read them. They are directions for living. They are signposts along life's way. They are warnings of dangers ahead. They are virtues to be encouraged. There are truths to be spoken, and there are prayers to be prayed, and lessons to be learnt. So there you have them, 10 virtues or reasons why we love the Word of God. Because they bring comfort and consolation, they are to be obeyed, They bring blessings, give us direction and signposts. They are warnings in the Word of God. They are virtues to be encouraged. They are truths to be spoken, prayers to be prayed, and many, many lessons to be learned. And again, let me just say a timely reminder. The psalmist only had the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, while we have all 66 books that make up the Old and the New Testament to complete the grand story of God and man. Now, when we come to the second part of this verse, the psalmist says, I meditate on your decrees. Will you notice that it's in the present tense, like now? I know it sounds like such a big theological word reserved for perhaps monks or hermits. No, no. Psalm 1 says that the man or the woman of God is blessed because in verse 1 it says he meditates day and night on God's word because he delights in it. If this Psalm 119 that we're looking at and Psalm 1, which I've just mentioned, was written by David as a shepherd boy, he had plenty of time on his hands to mull over, reflect on, to think about all those words, meaning to meditate on God's word. It certainly helps if we memorize God's word. So in a moment of quiet, you know, while you're waiting for an appointment, while you're stuck in the traffic, while you're sitting in the train, or maybe babysitting, or even trying to sleep, we can all meditate on God's word. When I try and explain meditation to people, it's like taking an orange, the whole one, and squeeze it. And then when you come to the end, you give it a final big squeeze to get out juice to the very last drop that's cool and beautiful citrus fruit. It's the same with the Word of God. I don't want you to think in any way that this is linked with transcendental meditation where you have to empty your mind. No, 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 no. Here we fill our minds and hearts with God's word and we mull over them. We reflect on and let the Holy Spirit bring fresh truths to your soul and mine. We have probably seen sometime, either live in the farmer's field or on a picture on the television, a cow chewing the cud. And then for the next 20 minutes, this cow stands in the field and just chews and chews and chews to get all the nutrients out of what she's just eaten. Well, it's the same like us. This is a spiritual discipline that has wonderful results if you're engaged in it. Now, join me next time when I spend more time on explaining the how. Until then, God bless.